תודה רבה לכולם. That's all I know in Hebrew. First of all, thank you to Rabbi Finkelstein and Mazel Tov to Rabbi Finkelstein on the birth of a baby girl. He set up for me to speak tonight. I didn't realize how tired I would be, so Russell will be in charge of waking me up if I fall asleep in the middle. I've been to a few shiurim where the Ravs fell asleep. Not our Rav, the Rav, a Rav fell asleep, so hopefully I won't. Just to give Baruch Hashem, it's very nice to see everybody. And just for literally 30 seconds, so I've changed my careers a little bit. Baruch Hashem, Chastei Hashem. Everybody knows I made Aliyah, and this morning I was in Yerushalayim, so I've traveled a lot over the last few hours, and so Chastei Hashem that 2 days before I made Aliyah, I lost my job. And to continue Baruch Hashem, the Nisyonis of Aliyah, and something fell into my lap, and I'm the executive director of a school called Machon Mayan, which is a very unique school. It's for post-high school for girls. The difference between that school and most schools is that 30% are girls from public school, specifically girls that are on an unbelievable path of they've already are from. A lot of them come from NCSY. And very, very unique girls from many different types of schools. Usually, it involves girls that, unfortunately, some of them have backgrounds where their parents won't permit them to go to Israel for the year, don't want them to go to Israel for a year. So there's a tremendous amount of funds that are raised, Baruch Hashem, by great organizations. Because they're paying for our trip, so if anybody is interested in sponsoring one of our girls, we have actually a girl from Teaneck this year. So you could actually make a check out to the Rabbi's discretionary fund with his rishus, and it'll get over to our institution. Just to quickly tell you one story, it's just amazing. So when I took the job, my wife was a little apprehensive of going into Avodas Kodesh, because what I was making in the telecom world is basically what I'm making now in shekels, actually it's a little bit less. So you know, she wasn't so excited about that. So literally, we were there for 2 weeks, and we went on the first Shabbaton, and so they let the girls speak. Each of them have a unique story. So in the Shal Shudas, one of the girls spoke. We were in. We actually went to a beautiful, beautiful place up in the Golan called Olonei HaBashan. It's the before the Charmon. It's the only religious enclave. It's a really beautiful yeshuv. And one of the girls spoke, and she told the story that the entire room was crying. And my wife whispered to me, "Okay, I know why you wanted to be involved in this school. Just to give you a ha'ara of one of the girls that we have." So one of the girls we have is really, besides that, she has such a love of learning, but she was told a few months ago, she's in a Christian school for high school. She's been living as a Christian her entire life. Her grandmother recently passed away, and 2 days before she passed away, she called her daughter over and whispered to her, "I never told you this, but you're Jewish. I've always been hiding it from you because I was embarrassed that I was Jewish. Obviously, you're Jewish and your daughter's Jewish." And the daughter lived her whole life having some sort of feeling, she wasn't sure why, towards Judaism. So that's just one very small example. But to hear a girl tell the story and how much she loves Judaism, so it's for us, it's a Musar Haskil, because one of the best lines our director of our program says is that when he recruits in schools, our more famous schools, you know, of the world that we all know, so inevitably a parent will raise their hand and say, "Well, there's 30% of the girls are from public school, 25%, whatever it is. So I'm a little bit nervous of the influence that these girls are going to have on my pure yeshiva high school girls." So his answer usually is, "Actually, I'm a little bit nervous of the influence they're going to have on these girls. These girls are unbelievably pure girls. All of them have great stories. And their love of learning and wanting to learn more is really fascinating." In any case, so normally I wouldn't be able to prepare it. As everybody knows me, I'm not a big, I'm not really into Torah, but no, I'm kidding. I'm not into parshas. That are a little bit more difficult for me. I'm more of a halachic guy. So I have the great schus of being able to teach. So I'm able to review the parsha, and because I teach some of this as well. So here's a little bit of a taste, and that's why the girls, unfortunately, had to learn Parshas Toldos 2 weeks ago, so I had something to speak about tonight. So they were smart. And you'll notice it says Parshas Toldos and not Toldos. So that's how I'm already changing. So a beautiful, beautiful idea throughout the parasha, which I think is extremely difficult. If anybody looks at the parasha, obviously has to come out to us. We know that Yaakov's Mida is the Mida of Emes. He is the truthful one. He's an Emes Yaakov. So of course we have to ask ourselves, how can it be that he did this whole trickery? How is it possible that if you look at the Pesukim, so something went on here that doesn't seem like a Yaakov that we know? And he stole the Bechorah, now he gets the Bechorah. No, if Yitzchak really wanted to give it over to Esav, so shouldn't he got it? What's going on here? So that has to be a deeper message. So I underlined in the Pesukim here, in the fourth source, so you could see that there is a word that's repeated many, many times. We know that Avram is Zokain, and he goes out and he says to Esav to go out, Vayomer la b'ni. He says, "Vayomer lav hinein v'yomer." Right, I'm getting old. I'm going to die soon. Go out and get the animals. V'asli metamim, and you should go out and get me something good to eat, as you know I like, because you always got him the food. We know that Esav excelled in the area of kibud av, and so fine. And now Rivka finds out what's going on. So we all know the whole story from grade school. And she just run out and go ahead, and you have to go find these things. And again, the words repeated again. And pasuk zayin vili tzayin v'yasili matamim v'achalta, and I'm going to give you the bracha. And then she says to him to go out and get him matamim. Again, is repeated again. Fine, and we know basically this story. But again, pasuk yadal, it's repeated again. Vayelech v'yikach v'yavo li'imo v'yajashimo matamim again. And then pasuk yudzayin, it's repeated again. V'yiten esam again. The good thing. So, Pasha, the first question is that what exactly does it say here six times the word matamen? What's so important about the taste of the food? So we know that when it comes to food, so I don't know, many of you probably celebrated a holiday I used to celebrate called Thanksgiving, and it's just a little bit strange, because I was at part of the OU convention, which is taking place in Yerushalayim this week, so I was there last night. And I was talking to Rabbi Wild, who's going to be the executive vice president of OU, taking over. So I told him, you've got to be very careful tomorrow night. They're having a big grace of Thanksgiving dinner. I said, when Rav Schechter comes, Rav Schechter doesn't eat turkey because he says there's no Masorah for it. I said, please do me a favor. Don't serve turkey at his table. He's not going to eat it. So he laughed. He knows Rav Schechter very well. Okay, so there's a holiday called Thanksgiving. So I don't know how many of you had the grace of Suda. So at the Gros Hasuda, so everybody knows turkey is like a very big science of how do you make turkey. So there's a lot of ways you can make turkey. One of the ways you can make it is not tasty. So, right, you can make it very dry and it doesn't taste good. So what's the difference between a good turkey and a bad turkey? At least from what I've been told, I don't know anything about cooking. It's the taste, right? You can have the same exact turkey that you got for free at Pathmark, and they still do that. Back in my day. So, I'm kidding. So they, right, you get the free turkey, but it's how do you base it? Grace, I don't know, you have to know all these achim. I don't know. But the bottom line is how it tastes. You can have two pieces of turkey, one tastes a million times better than the other one, because it's matamnim, it has a taste to it. So that's something that's extremely important, is the taste of it. So just keep that in mind. We know the whole story, so what happens here, then the Hakol Kol, right, Yaakov, Yadayim Yedei Esav, and he's supposed to look like one who's a hunter, and that apparently, even though it seems, from the Pesukim, the Midrashim, of course, tell us this, that Yitzchak has an idea of what's going on here. He says Hakol Kol Yaakov, Yadayim Yedei Esav, but he still gives him the bracha. And then we see in Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayigash, Vayishak Lo, Vireach, Vayirach Esreach, Begodav, Vayivarcheyu. So there's a little bit of a grammatical interesting thing in Pasuk Chazayin. When he gives him the bracha, so what does he do? He gives him a kiss, he smells him, he blesses him, and then he smells him, and then he says, your smell. So it should have been that he smelled him, and he said, well, something's, your smell is a unique smell. So that's what we have to answer as well. We see that he almost gives him two brachas almost. Two times he says this. Then matam is a mention again in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Fine. The Gemara says in source number two, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says as follows. Rabbi Zeira Omer, Mihacha, we learn from the Pasuk, so he says, very, very interesting, Reach as Reach Begodov, El Dekru Begodov, El Bugdov. You shouldn't read it as clothes, but you should read it as Bogdav. Bogdav generally means somebody who's not following the right path, right? Somebody who's a Rasha. So obviously this Gemara obviously screams out, what exactly is going on here? We know the famous play on words, Elotu Banayich, Elabonayich, right? All these plays on words generally. So generally we understand what they mean. So here, he's saying to him, I smell the smell of your begadim. Don't read his begadim. I smell the smell of your rishayim, of those people not on the path. So what exactly does that mean? What does the Gemara mean? The Gemara doesn't explain what it means, so we have to understand that. Source number three is the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos tells us the following. We learned already that there's an idea of taste, and that taste is something that is somewhat subjective, in that everybody has different taste buds, and everybody, although many of us could, you know when the taste of something is doesn't taste good, but some of us like this type of turkey, some people like dry, some people like dark meat, some people like white meat. So the Gemara says, but when it comes to Reach, so this is very interesting. The Gemara says in Barachas, in Daf Mem Gimel Amud Veiz, Amar Rav Zutra, so Rav Zutra says as follows. Minayin shemivarchim ala Reach. How do we know that we should make a bracha when we smell something? Because the pasuk, of course, famous pasuk, kol neshama tahalul ka, right? As we say, of course, every morning. Eizu dabar shen neshama nehne mimeno, v'yena guf nehne mimeno, havei omer zeh reyach. That even though you might think that by birchas hananim it should be something that the guf is going to get hana on, no, you still get hana anyway, even if the neshama gets hana. So you still have an inyan of making a bracha. So we see that there is tam, there is the actual taste, and there's an idea of reach, there's an idea of making a bracha, even when the neshama gets a certain amount of hana. So we know this as well. For example, when it comes to Torah, so we know by Torah, there's this idea as well. So the famous question about a person can spend, if you would imagine, so if you're a follower of Rabbi Sobolowski, so you could spend your entire life learning Yomim V'Layla, Rabbi Sobolowski's Torah. You can go to his shurim, you could download it online, right? And you haven't learned one piece of anything the whole day, meaning you haven't sat on anything and learned it. You've heard, you're listening to a shir. So we have to assume that listening to a shir now is not wasting your time. You're getting a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. But really, what's the hana that you're getting? You make a birchas Torah in the morning. So the hana that you're getting, the neshama is getting the hana. And in fact, sometimes, maybe some of you are sitting here getting this type of hana, you're not even listening to a word that I'm saying. So mistama, so do you get mitzvahs for Talmud Torah for that? So Rav Goldvachol used to say, yes, you do. Why? We know that you do. Why? Because what does it do? So if as we say, normally if I'm having a conversation with you and it goes in one ear and goes out the other ear, so there's no hana in that. But when it comes to Torah, there's hana. Why? Because even though it goes in one ear and goes out the other ear, it goes inside for a moment and it cleanses the neshama. He gives the mashal about the king. The king goes to the his servants and he says, here are these jugs. I want you to fill these jugs of water. Don't ask for the reason. Go ahead and fill them for water. So the servants go out and they fill the jug of water, and each of them notice that the jug has quite so many holes in them. And they fill it up, and all the water comes out. So they said, the king obviously made a mistake. So four of them say, forget it. They go back, and that's it. And the Jew, so he keeps filling it, and the water comes out. He fills it, the water comes out. He fills it, the water comes out. Fine. King comes back, and he says, where's my jugs? So they told him the story, the other four guys. And the other guy said, no, I filled it up. I did what the melech told me to do. So he looks at the other four people and he says, you're a bunch of idiots. Why did you assume that I was doing it in order for you to fill the jugs with water? I didn't want to fill the water. I wanted you to clean it. And he says, that's what we have by Torah, Talmud Torah. Sometimes it's really late at night and maybe you've been on a flight the whole day and you don't even know what you're saying. But what is the idea? The idea is neshama is getting cleansed by that. So we have that by Torah as well, and maybe that's what Yaakov was, in fact. Ish tam yoshev olam. So he had this idea of the neshama, of having the reyach, a special reyach. And then we could get that over here if we see that, of course, from the idea in the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, Amud Beis, is the famous, very interesting Gemara. Haman min haTorah minayin. So how do we know that Haman is in the Torah, not just in Nach itself? Because it says Hamin haEitz, right? So don't read Hamin haEitz, I guess Haman haEitz. Because we know it's very interesting, because Haman is very similar to that famous snake. Because that snake went out and it mamish told Chava everything under the book that was a lie. Right? Remember what happened over there. So what did he tell her? He told her to look. He told her you're not allowed to touch it. All the senses. It was interesting though, if you look at the Pesukim, there's one sense he didn't touch. And that was the sense of smell. He never said anything about it. He never said to her, you're not allowed to smell it. He never told her to smell it. He told her to eat it. He told her to look at it. But he never said anything about smell. It's an interesting idea we could keep in mind. I want to thank Ari Amaris for making my favorite American treat, although we have it in Israel. But in Israel, we have this chus of having kishka with real kishka. Maven Yavin. It's very good for your heart. So that's where Haman. Haman comes from the snake. Okay, Esther. We know the famous idea. Where is Esther? Anochi, Hester, Esther. Where is Mordechai? How do we know where Mordechai is in the Torah? Everybody knows this, I'm sure. Because Mordoror. What's Mordoror? Mordoror is, of course, the delicious smelling items from the incense of the Beis Hamikdash. Why? So let's go back to what we said before. Mordechai was the one who destroyed the Hamans of the world. He destroyed Haman. Through what? Mordoror. Through the fact of the smell, of the neshama, because he was kulo mitzvahs, he was kulo Torah, and when you have that aspect, so you're able to combine the kulo Torah with this idea of kulo neshama, his neshama, so the more that was the Mordoror. Haman? Haman was the opposite. He was like the snake. He was very sneaky, like a snake, and Hamina Eitz, right? He tried to do everything. So now let's go back for a moment and go back to our questions. So what exactly happened here? And this is the we grapple with this, I hope, every year in and year out. What exactly was it that Yitzchak didn't automatically know that Yaakov was going to be the one who was going to be the future of the Jewish people? Why did he have a Havamina that should be Esav? So one of the answers could be what we said before. He repeats here in the Pesukim six times the idea of Matam. What was he worried about? We know. We're told right in the beginning. Esav was a Yodea Sayyid, and Yaakov was Ishtam Yoshev Alim. So Yitzchak was bothered by that. He said, if you have a guy who sits in the Beis Medrash all the time, so how's he going to be the future of the Jewish people? Okay, so maybe in Eretz Yisrael you could have that, right? We have an all-time high of mayors that were elected in the election 2 weeks ago, including my lovely town of Beit Shemesh, Moshe Abutbol, Shas. So we have, I think it was six new mayors that were elected, all for mayors. So, but Yitzchak didn't go along that path. Yitzchak said, this Yaakov, he's a great guy. He's got the neshama. He's got the smell. He's really good at that. He's got the Mordoror, right? But I'm a little nervous. He doesn't have the tam. What's the tam mean? Milchemas shel Torah. What's going to happen when he has to go out? Not everybody's a firm guy going to sit and learn Torah all the time, right? So I won't say any names. I heard a great vort once from a great Rosh Hashiva. Great Rosh Hashiva said that it's very easy to be sitting in some of the holy yeshivas that we know. I don't want to make fun of any yeshivas in America, right? So, right, the beautiful yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. You're in Panovich, you're in Mir, so it's pretty easy to be a Rosh Yeshiva there. Why? Because everybody there is struggling to try to even get in. They're going to listen to your Torah, they're going to listen. It's great. Go try to be a Rosh Yeshiva in a more difficult yeshiva, where everybody's not as turned on to Torah. Go to one of the Hester yeshivas, where not necessarily everybody's learning Torah Yom Valayla. Or go to the Esha Torah, where... That's Torah. That's the teaching. That's what he was worried about. Is Yaakov going to be Makar people? Is he going to promote Achdus? Is he going to bring the Jewish people together? I'm not so sure. If we look at Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, had that quality as well. You have to be a leader, and you have to be able to pasken halacha, right? Look how Yisro came Moshe, not in the Nevius. They were asking him the shilas. When Yisro came, and Yisro said, there's a problem here. Everybody's asking the shilas. There has to be an assistant rabbi here. Not here. So the he moved to Israel already. So the that's the idea. That's what Yitzchak was concerned with, and we'll see how it really Mamash fits in very, very beautifully. And that's why he keep the word matamim is repeated and repeated again. Why does he keep repeating it? He keeps repeating it because he's nervous, and that's what he's trying to the message. He said, "Wow, wait a minute. This is my assumption. He knew exactly who was coming into the room right away." Kokol Yaakov Yidayim De Esav. We said, wait a minute. I'm a little bit impressed here. This guy, he got me the matamim. He went out, he hunted. He dressed like it. This is a guy that's going to promote Achdus. This is a guy that's going to bring the Jewish people together. He doesn't just have Kol Neshama Taliyah Haluyah. Right? He doesn't just have that he's going to have the smell, which means he has the matanim too. He's able to look out to the world of the Yetzirah, of the Gashmias, and not just the Ruchnias. But that's the type of leader we're going to need for the Jewish people. Right? You look at, of course, who Yaakov's children were. Yaakov, the Gemara says this already, but the Midrash elaborates on it, that Yaakov was the first one with no psolas. Avram came, and Avram had, of course, Yishmael. Yitzhak had Esav. Yaakov was the first one who was going to have all the Shiftei Ka. But, as we know, each of them had their unique issues. Obviously, Mechiras Yosef and all that. He was able to deal with that. That's what he saw. And he saw that? Oh. And then he repeats in Pavzal Chav Zayin. He smelled the Reach of the Begadim? Oh, he gave him the Bracha. And then what did he say? He says, Yaakov, I'm giving you the Bracha. Why? Because of the Reach. Now I see it. I didn't see it before. And that makes sense in source number two. Don't read it Begadim, right? Begadav, Bogdav. The Rishon, the people off the path. Because that was the, right, the clothes make the man. In this case, it was kind of the opposite here. The clothes of the Ish Sayyid impressed upon Yitzchak that he said, oh, Yaakov, you're the guy. You're the man. You're the one that's going to lead the Jewish people. And that's why I use the term Bogdav, which is the people that are off the path. You're going to take those people that are off the path and you're going to create Achdus. Obviously, though, the more important thing, what we have to focus on as well, is having the second aspect, that more drawer aspect, that combination, but also, of course, first having the neshama. That's, of course, very important as well. And that's what we see if we go to the next source, on the next page, in source number 5, this idea, the tzaddikim had this idea. We're going to read in a few weeks, in Mechiras Yosef Nebuch. So it tells us that when Yosef is sold, the gamalim, right? The gamalim came. What did the gamalim have on it? Right? Oh, what they have? They had very beautiful smelling perfumes. What we call it? Spices. Thank you. My English is not very good, so I'm working on it. They didn't have smelling. So Rashi says, "Well, who cares what the gamalim had?" So he writes the gamalim. So he says, "Lama, right? Well, Lama pierce my kosov." Right, it's must say, who cares what it had on it? What are you making that public? Every single word in the Torah is so important. L'hodia matan schorim shel tzadikim. She'ein darkam shel, right? Generally, the arrows, when they would come, they would be traveling, they would have nef, they would have itron, right? We say in the B'mavadlikim, the bad smelling, right? The tar, the things that smell terrible. And Yosef is going to go into Mitzrayim, and he's going to smell like this? No. They had besamim, they had nice smelling things. But it's more of a message than that. It's not just a message that he wanted to give them schar and say, even though you have to go through the shuba, no. It was a message for Yosef HaTzadik through the gullus. He says, take it to the gullus with you. I want you to remember, Yosef, that remember how you came to Mitzrayim. It's going to be a shibud. It's going to be very difficult. And it's not just going to be you, Yosef, unfortunately. Because of Mechiras Yosef, we're going to have to serve in Mitzrayim. And guess what? Even though we think that it's that was it, and then we got out, we got into Eretz Yisrael, and Mechiras Yosef also affects the fact that we have no Beis HaMikdash now. Because of what was the whole idea of no Achdus, the lack of Achdus. Right? We know the Dam from the Korban Pesach. Right? It's supposed to be Mechaper on that. And that was the idea. Yosef, you're going to Mitzrayim? Oh, but I'm going to remind you, what are you going to have in Mitzrayim? You're going with spices. You're going with good smelling things. You have the neshama. The neshama is going to be there. Right? That's what you have to take with you to Mitzrayim. Ribbono Shel Olam is always going to be with you. That's the ruchness that you have to have. A little bit later on in the Parshios, so we see that famous idea, some of us say it every morning, in Parshas, in Shmos, in Perek Lamed, it says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, kach lecha samim. Right? So what we had the incense, what do they call it? The frankincense, right? What the art school calls it, right? What? Frankincense. I saw the movie. So he says, kach lecha samim, right? What did you say? Also, what was in it? Chelbana. What was Chelbana? The famous love, Chelbana. Rashi says, Chelbana? Ooh, of course. B'shem sherecha ra. The coat, right? It was a terrible smelling thing. Huh? The incense smelled so beautiful. You could smell it from far, far away. I don't understand. Why they put chelbana, the worst smelling thing, in it? Lamdu shaloi, right? Kalbe eni la'asraf yimayim. Be'agudas. Because when it comes to Eretz, right? The chelbana mixed with everything smelled beautiful. Ah, that was the idea. The idea was, that is Achdus B'nai Yisrael. You cannot think for a moment that you can't have everything together. You have to have a chelben. In the Beis HaMikdash, they had the worst smelling thing was combined to make it smell good, to remind us of Achdus. To remind us of all different types of Jews. Right? I don't know if I should say this on the tape, but I'll say it anyway. I was on the plane today, and Baruch Hashem, Continental, 747-200s have the movies, 9,000 movies, of course. I'm very firm, I don't watch any movies, but they had, I was going through it for a friend of mine, and it was actually one of the most interesting flights I've ever been on. Plane fits, I don't know, over 200 people. There were 45 people on the flight. It's the first time I literally had my own row. So Ushpizin was on. So, what are the Ushpizin? What was the idea? Those that saw it, I'm not sort of bucking it, but from what I saw while I was falling asleep, that was the idea. You have to be Makar of everybody. Those two guys were not the best guys in the world, but they said, no, you have to bring them back. That's what the Chalban is. The Beis HaMikdash. We're reminding the Beis HaMikdash, just like we're reminded by Mechiras Yosef. The idea, again, of the good smelling things and bad things. It has to be Ba'achdus, Rashi says. Everything has to be Ba'achdus. You have to take everything. Source number 9 is mamish fascinating. I mamish wouldn't believe it. I heard this from a Goldbach. I searched high and low to find this Beis Yosef because I don't want to say I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe it was in a Beis Yosef because I never heard of this before. I couldn't believe it. Look at this Beis Yosef. I have to have one source that's in halacha, but it's not a halachic source. It's unbelievable. The Beis Yosef says in Siman Tuf Reish Nun Aleph, when we took the girls to Sfas, or Sfat, a few weeks ago, so I told over this Beis Yosef because we were there. And I said, this happened in Sfat. You're not going to believe the story. So it says like this. Sheshailin halacha, if you have to be mechaber, if you have to have together the esrog and the lulav, we're knowing because we know that when we have the lulav and esrog, so we take the lulav, the hadas and the aravos, and we hold them together. Some people say you have to do one hand, two hands, whatever it is, and that we don't say that you hold it like this. You're supposed to hold it together. So he says, the Beis Yosef says, the truth is, halachically, I'm not sure. All right? The truth is, there's no real source in halacha that says anything. Right? Oh, but I had a dream, he says. He said, I tell you a crazy story. So he tells over the story that the following historical somercha esrog imshar. So some people say he should. So he said, I'm not sure who this was. This Harav Menachem says, I wasn't sure. But the sod ze nigla alai b'cholom. But I had a dream. Belel yom tov harishon shel chag sukkis. On the first night of Sukkis, I had the great zuchus of being by somebody you might know, the famous Ashkenazi by the name of Harav Yitzchak. Who is he talking about? A little bit scary. The Arizal. He wasn't Zal then. Right? He was by the Arizal. Very interesting. The Arizal, we know his name is, right? It was Ashkenazis. Usually Ashkenazis mean that they're Sephardi. But according to my tour guide, who knows what he's talking about, our Mashgiach Ruchani, so he said, he's right, that he was actually Ashkenazi Arizal. I'm sorry, I know there's two different shuls. I was there. There are two shuls fighting with each other there. One's Nusach Ashkenazi, one Nusach Sephard, one's the Sephardi. So he was Ashkenaz. Whether he obviously started the Nusach Ari, I guess. But in any case, he was at the Arizal's house. Amazing. Beis Yosef now is at the Arizal. He has the dream while he's in his house, or maybe in a sukkah. What's the dream? He sees. I'll just say it outside. So he says as follows. He sees in the dream the following thing. He sees the Shem HaMefurish, the Yud K, the Vav K, right? Or better said, Yud Hey Vav Hey. Some people get confused sometimes, right? It's a famous. Rabbi Reisman told over the story about these yeshivish guys who hear there's a famous Rebbe that gets literally thousands of people on a Friday night to come to him, hear him Dorish. And they're making fun. What is he Dorish? He's a Gematria, this and that, whatever. So they say they're going to go to make fun of him. So they go into the Tish, whatever it was, and he's being Dorish something. He says, the Shem of Mefurish, we know if we take the Gematria of the Shem of Mefurish, we take the Yud, and we take the K, and it equals it. They're going back over. And the guys are laughing, they're hysterically laughing. And the guy looks at the other guy, goes, what? His Gematrias don't even make sense. He said, Yud is 10, but Kuf, because it's K, Yud K, that doesn't make sense. But guys, Gematrias don't make any sense. Okay, so he saw the Yud, the Hey, the Vav, together, and the hay was on another side, right? Yud, hay, vav, hay on the other side, he says. A crazy dream, but generally when we're, you know, if you were Rav Yosef Karo and you had a dream like that, so if any of us had a dream like that, we would think we were a big tzaddikim, right, who's dreaming about yud, kays, and vav, kays. Normally not. He had a dream. He was very scared. He woke up in a sweat. He didn't know what was going on. So he went to the Arizal and he said, "Excuse me, Rabbi Arizal, what exactly is this dream about?" And he said, "I have no idea. I don't know what the dream's about." The next morning, he goes to shul. His tummy goes to the Arizal shul. I don't know which one. And he's shaking lulav and esrog. And the Arizal goes, "Oh, I figured out your dream." He goes up to Rav Yosef Karo and he says, "I figured it out. Look how you're holding your lulav and esrog. You're holding the lulav, the hadassim and arobos in one hand, and the esrog in the other hand. That's what the Ribbono Shalom was trying to tell you last night. You have to combine the yud, the hey, and the vav hey together. You have to. The halacha is pikabola, I guess, that the esrog, the lulav, the it all has to be together. Ba'achdus. That's what the whole holiday is about. We have the esrog, which is the heart, which is the right. You, Rav Yosef Karo, you thought no. How should the tzaddik, the esrog, be on the together with the tam vein reyach, which should be with the no. Everybody's together. It's the holiday of achdus. A fascinating story, because that's what you need." On one hand, we see that Yaakov had to possess this idea of matamim, but we also have to focus on that idea of reyach. But what's reyach? Reyach is combining both of them. You take the people with the tam also, and you say, no, we're being makar of them. That's the whole point of why we're around. Rav Shechter has a great idea, but it's based on the Rishonim. I think the Ran says this, but it's a scary thought. That how is it that on Friday night, if somebody knocks on your door after you made kiddush, and they say, "Excuse me, can you please make kiddush for me? I don't know how to make kiddush." You're allowed to make kiddush for them. Why is that allowed? Because we know that his level is derais and yours is not even derabanan. How are you allowed to? Oh, kol yisareim zebazeh. So fine. If Kiv Eger is a long vort on the kol yisareim zebazeh, wide strip. But what's the idea of Shechter says? My kiddush, if your kiddush, your obligation of kiddush on Friday night is, let's say, 100%, you've done it, as we say in Israel, you get a check for doing it. You have not done it 100% until every single Jew in the entire world has heard kiddush. Amazing. And that's what Kol Yisrael Reim Zebazeh means. It means that until everybody fulfilled the mitzvah, you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah properly. Your achrayus is that everybody should fulfill the mitzvah. We should learn. So I don't know what the final word is. Maybe somebody knows better than I do. We're talking about achdus, so we know that the Chabad movement is quite well known for their achdus. And Rachmana Litzlan, lo aleinu, what happened today in India, in Mumbai, is mamish so terrible. So the Ribbono Shalom should be mechazik us. Does somebody know what's the final word there?
They
haven't confirmed it. So, in Mirtz Hashem, whatever the situation is, the Ribbono Shalom should have Rachmanus, and we should get a lesson from this. But we should take a lesson for what they're doing. They're sitting in India, in the middle of nowhere, to do what we're talking about tonight, to be a Makari of people, to do what the Beis Yosef didn't realize that he was lacking, to do what the whole point of the Chelbana is, to do what Yosef was reminded, and to do what we said, Kol Neshama, to more Dror, that's what Mordechai was. But to be able to combine both. Very, very interesting and scary. Source number 10. The word, right, it says, "Bereach nichoich arza eschem beotzi eschem min ha'amim," that the word "reach nichoich" says it will bring us back to Eretz Yisrael when we have the reach nichoich. Very interesting, I never knew this. Pasuk Mem Beis, "Til admos Yisrael," that we know that generally in the Torah and Tanakh, the word is Canaan. The one time where it's referred to as Admas Yisrael, where we have the word Yisrael referred to Eretz Yisrael, is when it talks about the Reach Nichoich. You want Eretz Yisrael back? You really want it back? There's only one way you're going to get it back. The Reach Nichoich. Ba'achdus. Having the Reach, what we spoke about. Masuda said, what does it mean? What is Reach Nichoich? So Masuda David says in source number 11, Bi'avor Habas Reach HaKetoyres. What was the Ketoyres again? The Chelbana. You want the base of English back? Show me that you believe in Chelbana. Show me that you believe in Achdos. That's the job that we have. Okay. We'll continue the scary portion of this year. Source number 12, the Medrash Tanchuma says, on our Pasuk, the Reach of the Begodim, Begodav, so it says, V'yesh Dorshim Loma HaKetoyres HaSidim La'asos of the base of English. Where is it going to come from? Unbelievable. Hafiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reach Ke Begadov Shel Yaakov. that the begotten from Yaakov, whatever that means, however it's going to come, that's where the future Keteris is going to come from. It's going to come from those clothing that he wore. What would that clothing show again, Yitzhak? Oh, I could give the bracha to Yaakov, because he is going to combine the Achdus. He's not just going to sit and learn Torah all the time. He's going to do the Kiruv. What's that famous film, that Eish HaTorah? The one that...
Inspired.
So it's, I love the beginning, right? They go to, let's call it Brooklyn, and they ask some people, let's call them yeshivish people, and they ask them, do you believe that Kiruv is a mitzvah? So what do they say? Yeah, of course it's a mitzvah. What do you mean? Kiruv is a great mitzvah. Of course Kiruv is a mitzvah. Do you do Kiruv? No, I don't do Kiruv. Right? And one person, and the mom should say this, they know what's going on tape. Why don't you do Kiruv? What was the answer? One guy says, I don't want my kids to see these type of people in my house. Right? Well, one answer. Well, the other guy says, I don't have time. Whatever it is. This is it. Reach Nichayach is going to come from the lesson of Yaakov Avinu. Source number 13. Crazy. Source number 13, we know Yericho was the first conquered place. By the way, what is the word? Why was it named Yericho?
Yerach.
From smell. Right? Yericho. Areach, right? The Keteris was smelled even there. That's the idea of the first place conquered. And finally, source number 14, just so I could totally blow you out of the water and scare you, the Zohar. I'm not learning Zohar yet. I'm not that old. This is from Rav Goldbach. So Rav Goldbach says, based on the Zohar, says, Eino olim mekayemes ela reach. So what? The Hadassah Moshe Shabbos. That one of the reasons why we smell on Moshe Shabbos the Besamim or the Hadassim is that idea to remind us of Reach Nichoyach, remind us what our job is throughout the week. Yes, the Neshama Yisera, but that's the idea. In fact, the halach is clear that if a person has a cold, apparently you crazy people in New York, it's freezing here. I just came from 65 degree weather. It's absolutely freezing. And so, I don't want to wish anybody a bad thing, but somebody here is going to get a cold. So what happens on most of your Shabbos, you have a cold, you can't smell. You do not want to make the bracha barim b'samim, right? Or if you have a b'samim, you know, from 1962, it doesn't smell anymore just because it looks like b'samim, it doesn't smell. You have to smell because that's what most of Shabbos is. Now I'm really, this is, now the last thing, if you listen to nothing, just listen to this because I love this idea. Talk about that it comes from Motzi Shabbos. What's the deeper meaning? Deeper meaning is a something about Havdalah. We want to remind ourselves that our week should be a week of Reach, a week that combines, of course, Torah, but with Achdus. So what's one of the things that we do, which is probably one of the strangest minhagim, which I saw get so much hanoah about. A number of years ago, I gave Shiurim in Hilchos Shabbos. So we spoke about, by Havdalah, when you do Boyer Mareish. So what are you supposed to do? It's a lot of different, right? What are you supposed to do about Bar Mareish? Some people do this before, some people do it after. One hand, two hands, this, that, the other. I don't know what to do. So they showed a picture in the Hamodiah, I think last year's Agudas Yisrael convention. So they showed a picture at Havdalah. And you see all the Gedolim of our time, and it was by Bar Mareish, and you see one of the Gedolim going like this, one of the Gedolim going like this, one of the Gedolim going like this. Okay, so they don't know either what's it. Everybody does something different. Very good. So, but what's the idea? Most people go, at least I'm familiar with, right? They do something like this, and then they look at their fingertips. If we look at our fingertips like this, so we'll see that they're all different shapes. When we bring them close together, towards us, what we're supposed to be doing, we look at the fingertips, so they're all exactly the same length. You could try it at home. Right? Here, this way, they're not ba'achdus, and if you bring them close together, when we're supposed to look at the fingers, right? We know the reasons why we look at the nails, but it brings the ba'achdus. So remind us of that idea. It's a pashut idea, but it's certainly something that escaped me. We have to look at it. So one of the Mefarshim said this week, I think Rav Hirsch says this, anybody who takes the story at face value and thinks that there was a shmek of shecher in Yaakov, he says it's similar to somebody who thinks that David HaMelech sinned with Bathsheba. No way, it can't be. So we have to make a little bit of sense to us. Make it sense when our kids ask us on Shabbos. Say, no, Yitzhak was very smart. He knew exactly what was going on over here. But then he saw, he said, this is not a guy sitting and learning Torah all day. He's going to bring the Jews, Ba'achdus. He's going to know how to deal with the non-Jewish nations. Oh, that's what we want. He has Tam, and he has Reach. That's somebody that we bring into to our nation. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea that we should mamish take with us all the time. And that's what it means to smell like a Jew, not as the emails that I received from a few people, oh, you're Israeli now, you're speaking about to smell like a Jew. No, chas v'shalom. So the idea is, what does it mean to smell like a Jew? Is to know that we have to spend time learning Torah, it's so important, but our idea in life is that we have to be ba'achdus. We have to create this achdus of tam v'reach, of know when we have to go out, and when we have to be like, as we ended off saying, the Zohar, that Shabbos is all about Motzei Shabbos, smelling the Reich Nichoich, spelling again this idea of the Vesamim, to invigorate us, to be involved, how we're going to be involved with Achdus. Now it doesn't just mean, by the way, just 30 seconds of saying, it doesn't just mean that if I don't do Kiruv, I'm done. Achdus also means something very, very simple. A simple hello. This is something, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, when everybody's Jewish, but even obviously Kiddush Hashem applies by Goyim as well. But this is something we really have to take with us. We live in the community we live in. We have different shuls around here, right? Good Shabbos, to say good Shabbos to every single person, right? Make a game. I want to be the first person to say good Shabbos before that other shul says good Shabbos to the other people. Whatever. I was on it at the other shul's dinner, so I can say that. So, but that's also important. But in Eretz Yisrael, you see this tremendous amount of achlas, I believe. Despite this, that, at the end of the day, you could fight with the mamish, the worst fight in the world. He's always going to call you one thing, achi. Because at the end, you're brothers. And I believe the way that people deal with each other generally is in that way. You have to know what it means to say hello. For people to come over to you, the best compliment you can get, and they say, oh, it's good to be, I see, good to be dati. Look how you act. Look how your kids act. That's what we have to be about. So it's begadol, doing kiruv, but it's also what achdus means, of acting the way that a firm person should act. We should be zeichet to take this very, very important message and understand that the chelbana was in the ketoris and have the zchus, imir tzashem, of taking the begadim of Yaakov Avinu and taking it to the Mirza Shem, the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, where we'll be Zeichet to bring the Ketoris once again. Oh, yeah.